Well, over the last few months, we've been working through Paul's letter to the Philippian church. And this morning finds us at the final message of this particular letter. You know, Paul truly understood isolation and lockdown and being confined. He was confined in his prison. But even in that place, still he continues to feed, nurture and encourage other believers. Hopefully, it's what he's done for each of us as we've studied his letter together. Excuse me. So finally, there are three areas that he covers here. It's about sharing, giving, and caring. And I think through the worship this morning, we've heard of the loving God that cares for us. There's been that whole essence within the words that we've sang this morning. And Paul here, he speaks of what we can do for one another. So anyway, what makes this particularly interesting is that Paul would appear to have a policy of not making his financial needs known to anyone except the Lord. Here he was in prison, unable to pursue his tent making trade. He was in a tight spot. But the limitations that were put on him actually produced a number of letters during this time. And, of course, you have the Philippians letter, which we've been looking at, but also there was Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon, all written while he was in this place. Here he is, still at work, encouraging, trying to help and nurture the other churches. In each of these letters that he'd written, he asked for prayer. He asked for prayer. He never once mentions his financial needs. And instead, he asked for boldness. Boldness and faithfulness in his witness. Because he trusted God to meet for his needs. Which is where we come to this morning. We're looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 to 23. Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 to 23. I'll be there in a minute. Yeah. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Previously, Paul had just said that he'd learned to be content whatever the circumstances. But he recognises that it's right to acknowledge support from others. And he certainly doesn't take the church for granted. When he says it was good of you to share in my troubles, and then he goes on to comment that not one church shared with me except you only. Paul is clearly commending them for sharing in his troubles. When we share what we have, it's allowing someone else to use something or some resources with them instead of hoarding it all for ourselves. It's about giving and about getting and sharing for others. It's not all about what I have. You know, it's the very thing that we teach children from a very early age, that it's good to share. And yet somehow it can get lost as we grow up. When everything else in our life becomes a priority, sharing with others can often start to decrease. as a result of that, because other things have a priority before we get round to that. So if that sharing can often, over the years, we start to look out for other things that involve me or you, and often that becomes the priority. But it's obviously not the case with the Philippian church. They shared with him again and again. When Paul was in need, even though he wasn't looking for it, God had obviously touched the heart of the church to share with Paul in the way that they could. You know, it was Rick Warren, I came across this quote that he once shared about the stickers that you get on the rear of cars. And he said, you see that one that says, honk if you love Jesus. He said, but he once saw a sticker that said, tithe if you love Jesus. Any idiot can honk. It's about giving and about the sacrifice. So the Philippian church didn't just say, we'll pray for you and leave it at that. Their way of sharing was to give gifts. The giving of the church actually leads to partnership. You know, when we give to support a person who's in ministry, we not only support them, but we enter into partnership with them in the ministry. As the church shared in Paul's troubles, they also shared in his successes. Through their giving, they were just as much a part of Paul's ministry as he was. They were enabling him, sustaining him, and supporting him through their giving. In other words, when Paul led someone to Christ, they led someone to Christ. They were involved in that. They gave him the freedom to do that. You become just as much a part of the ministry. And in the same way, when you give to someone's ministry, you're just as much a part of that ministry as they are. Don't look at it as something that just happened then. It's still something that God is doing now and he's still doing today. When you give to support the ministry of this church, you're just as much a part of the ministry as the pastor is, or the youth worker, or Bethlehem, or the Cap Course. When you give and support, you are part, you're investing in that ministry. When God encourages us to give, it does more than just help others. It has a real effect on us. And you know, even although science proves this effect, it was actually God who planned it this way. Science starts taking the credit for things that God has already put in place. We all know that giving helps others. You know, whether we volunteer for organisations like the church, or perhaps offer emotional support to people, perhaps even donate to charities, whatever way you give, I'm sure you'll have experienced that sense of encouragement that it gives you to know that you're actually doing something for someone else. Studies show that giving can actually boost your physical and mental health, which is good news, certainly in our current situation. Maybe that's the thing that's going to help you get out the bit. Start giving, start sharing, start investing in other people or other ministries. There are so many people suffering from the emotional complications of this pandemic. And yet the health benefits associated with giving can include lowering your blood pressure. Anybody here get high blood pressure? Put your hand up, go for it. Yeah. Give. No, <okay. clears throat> It can increase your self-esteem. It can lessen depression. It can lower stress levels. Anybody here get stressed? Well, I'll fairly put my horn up now, because I'll see you give. There's an outcome when we actually help and support others. And it's been scientifically proven, although God knew all along. It can also lead to a longer life and also greater happiness and satisfaction. All of this through giving, through sharing what we have. You know, the phrase, God loves a cheerful giver, you find in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It ties in with these benefits. When we give freely without coercion, the result is being cheerful. It does something for us. It does our heart good. Just as Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. These words were written thousands of years ago. Anyway, you and I can be used in the same way. When we give, no matter how little or how much it is, you and I share in spreading the gospel. We become participants in God's own generosity. You know, I came across a story about a young girl who, she loved the Lord, and she lived in Burma, which is Myanmar today, and she longed to share the message of salvation with those who'd never heard it. So she gave a penny to a missionary to help with the work of bringing the gospel to the people of Burma. That small coin was all she had. But it was something that was given from the heart. So the missionary himself was deeply touched by this, by the girl's sacrifice and giving, that he decided, I'm going to use this in the most helpful way that I can as a result of this gift. So after careful thought, he purchased a gospel tract and he personally gave it to a young chieftain. Burma is full of different tribes. I think there's 100 different ethnic tribes within Burma, you know. So this particular tribe, he goes to the young chieftain and he gave him this tract. But he didn't know that the tribal leader was actually illiterate. But God gave a burning desire to this young leader to actually know the meaning of this leaflet that he was given. So he actually travelled 250 miles to find someone who could translate it for him. And after he heard the content of the gospel message, it wasn't long before the young chieftain himself came to faith in Christ. So because of this, he then returned to his people and he told them what the Lord had done in his life. And later he invited missionaries to come and preach to his tribe, and come and, you know, speak to the entire village. And as a result of that, many tribesmen who heard the good news trusted Christ as their saviour. And it was all because of one penny from a little girl who gave all that she had. Now I'm sure there are multitudes of stories like that, who have people who have given sacrificially and God has used it in a tremendous way. But that is just one that shows what God can do. Our giving gives praise to God. Paul rejoiced not simply because of what their generosity meant within his own life. He rejoiced that the Philippians would be blessed as a result of their giving. He knew the generous God that would bless them as a result of all that they gave. When he said to them, I am looking for what may be credited to your account. And then goes on to say, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So you see, his focus was not on what they gave, but the blessing that they were about to get. The church had met some of Paul's needs. Now they're told by him that God will supply all their needs. It's actually a verse that can often be taken out of context. This promise is a promise to givers. It's a promise to givers. It doesn't apply to all Christians simply because we're saved. Yes, we do have a generous God. But again, this is a return of what we give. God will bless. He will return to you. So it applies to those who give. So this is Paul's direct response to the Philippian church for the gift that they had given to him. So whatever blessing that was to be received to meet all the needs of the church was according to God's glorious riches. We know there is no end to his resources. There's another story about the former golf pro Arnold Palmer. Now, it's not known if this is actually true or not, but it's something that has evolved, and it's a good illustration He once played a series of exhibition matches in Saudi Arabia. The king was so impressed that he proposed to give Palmer a gift. But Palmer declined, and he said, "It really isn't necessary, Your Highness. I'm honoured just to have been invited." The king responded, "I would be deeply upset if you would not allow me to give you a gift." So Palmer thought for a moment, and he said, "All right, how about a golf club? Because that would be a beautiful memento of my visit to your country." The next day, delivered to Palmer's hotel, was the title deeds to a golf club, thousands of acres, three trees, lakes, and a clubhouse. Don't underestimate the king. See, the moral of the story is, in the presence of a king, don't expect small gifts. When we give to our God, who is the King of the universe, he supplies according to his riches, to which there is no end. Sometimes I think our God is just too small in our thinking. You know, we can't comprehend just actually how much he wants to bless us, how much he wants to deposit into our account. So we have the same sharing which leads to the giving. And in turn, it's actually an expression of our care. And what we see in this letter is the depth of care that the church had for Paul. And Paul, in return, does not hide how much he cares for this particular church. I know I've mentioned it in the past, the depth of emotion and love and care and concern that he puts into this letter. In chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart." Chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." Chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for." And chapter 4, verse 15, "As you Philippians know, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only." When it comes to caring, God can and does lay different things in our heart. And it is out of that prompting that we give our time, our energy, our finance. For some people, it's even their life, as we see that with Paul. You know, I was thinking about the different expressions of care that comes from this church. And it covers a wide range of giving. For some, it's volunteering, whether that's caring for individuals or groups or simply serving wherever you can. There are others who will support financially. And for many of us, this will be influenced by the things that you care about or that you have a passion for. And I want to encourage you as I go through this. For someone who has a care or a passion for the food bank, it's because the very essence of poverty gets to you and you want to do something about it. If it's Strathcarran Hospice, it's because of the end-of-life care that touches you and you want to do something about it. You want to share something with them. If it's Erskine Nursing Home, it could be the ex-servicemen and women who have given sacrifice for this country, for our freedom. Even something like the Word for Today, the contribution towards that allows it to be given freely, distributed. You'd be amazed at the millions of copies that's going out now as a result of giving to that. So again, that's a way you're helping spread the word. You're investing in the kingdom by doing things like that. Then there's a CAP course. If you invest in that, it's because you want to help people recover from debt, to get out of that place, because it has so many facets that affects their life as a result of that. And therefore, if it's something like that that stirs you, it would cause you to invest in something like the CAP course. And then you have Barnabas, because you care for the church that's getting persecuted, that are suffering simply because of their faith in Christ. And because it's rejected or not accepted in the place that they live, they are truly persecuted. So there are people who are stirred to give to Barnabas because they want to help those who are in those countries who need that kind of support. And then, of course, there are those who just quietly give to individuals. Nobody else knows about it. And you just simply pass something on to help support another person. Last week, the church, on your behalf, gave a donation to Bethany Christian Trust, looking in some way to help support the homeless. So you see, you never know whose life has been touched by the gift that you've given. And there are some times you might just think it's only a tenner. Think about that wee girl's penny and the difference that that made. And perhaps God will open our eyes to see He's doing far greater things than we could ever imagine. By the way, I'm not preaching about giving this morning, believe it or not. But it is the essence of the difference our giving makes. Because I want to encourage you this morning for you to see and understand what it is that you are investing in every time you give. And you don't always see the fruit of the ministry or the service or whatever it is that you're giving or the volunteering. You don't always see it, but you will find out someday. You may not just see it at this moment in time. So what Paul encouraged in the church at Philippi still applies today. So where is God prompting you to support? Is it one of those areas that I mentioned that stirs your heart? Perhaps there's something else that I haven't touched on. Allow God to prompt us to support, give, and care in a way that brings praise and glory to God. Our participation leads to the spread of the gospel. So don't underestimate the work that God does through each of us by the promptings of His Holy Spirit. As I say, much of it we will never know until we reach glory. Just because we may not see it doesn't mean that God is not at work. And I suppose that's the whole essence of what I'm trying to get across. You may not see it, but it doesn't mean that God's not working. He is at work. There are times you have to just dig around and research to find out what God is actually doing in a particular country. If it's persecuted Christians, then you need to look into it and find out what God is actually doing in these places. So I wonder, what is being credited to our account in Heaven's Bank? It will flow out of your giving. And each time you give, God has assigned something else. Thank you. I'll not mention names, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You have just invested in the kingdom of God. There are things being credited to your account every time you give. And you know, quite often that's what makes Christians so different from any other faith. Because there is an element of passion, of care, of giving for others that's not just about giving to Christians. It's not limited to giving to your own. It goes far wider than that. God bless you for every penny, every hour of every moment of the time that you have given. You have been investing in an account in heaven. And the day will come when you're going to look and see, wow, was that me? Did I do that? Was I a part of that? When you will know it. But sometimes there needs to be that bit in us today that hears it, to recognise, wow, what a work you're doing. What a work you're all doing. Finally, just as a throwaway line, Paul includes at the very end of his closing words of greeting, when he says, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Caesar may have been able to lock Paul up in prison, but he could not lock up the gospel. He could not lock up the gospel. As Jesus built his church within the emperor's very own household, thanks to the support, the giving and the care of the church in Philippi. Word was getting out there. The word of God was not being contained within that house where Paul was. He would tell somebody else, they told somebody else, and so on and so on and so forth. Caesar's household sent greetings to the Philippian church because of the difference it's made in their life. What they gave to Paul gave him the freedom to tell others. As a result of that, many more came to faith. You know, Christ can save whoever he wants, wherever he wants, whenever he wants. And we can each make the choice to be a part of his work or not. So we say to you this morning, the message is to follow through in the promptings of the Holy Spirit that God lays in your heart. If you're walking past somebody and you feel God saying, put something in their dish, do it. You may not see the outcome of what happens of that, but allow God to lead you. And start investing in that account in heaven that he has for all of us. Because through all, we'll give the glory to God. And we will actually see his kingdom come here on earth. There are some times I feel as though I've not done much. I haven't invested much. And I need my eyes opened. And I think we all do. To see and recognise through this simple letter, through the greetings at the end, what an amazing work giving does. Because you actually share, you invest in that with the person who's ministering. So be encouraged this morning. Every time you've gave, you've invested in another ministry. You've probably brought somebody to faith as a result of that. And at times we can get caught up and I've not saved anybody this month. It's not us anyway that do the saving. Your giving may have done it and you just don't know it. So we'd encourage you this morning, continue to give, but follow through in the promptings that God gives you. As I said at the beginning, Paul never asked. He never asked for them to give in financially towards them. They simply followed the prompting of the Lord. And that's all I ask of you today. I'm not saying give, I'm just saying follow the promptings of God, of the things that he lays in your heart, and allow him to work through us. And together we'll see the difference that God can make. Amen. 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 I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and lead us in our closing worship. Thanks.